Now, I want you to know that there is a brand of humor known as preacher jokes. Some of them are kind of funny. Most of them, not so much. In fact, for obvious reasons, they tend to be kind of bland and a little corny. And I'm going to tell you one today, and I want you to know before I tell you that, the joke that I want to tell you, that it is corny, I know that. But it has a point, so hang with me, because it's kind of pertinent to our topic. It's about this farmer. And this farmer is not really very successful. It seems that everything he plants dies. He's a farmer without a green thumb, which isn't a good thing. So one day he's out on his tractor and out in the middle of the back 40, and he stops his tractor, shuts it right down. He actually gets out of his tractor, gets down on his knees, and he begins to pray. And this is what he says: Lord, help me to figure out what I'm supposed to do with my life. This farming gig, it isn't working for me, and I desperately need your guidance. Tell me, Lord, what I should do with my life. Send me a sign. Let me know in some way what you want me to do. And then he opens his eyes and he looks towards the heavens, and all of a sudden, it's there, a sign from God. And it's clear to him that God wants him to be a preacher. So he quits his farming gig, goes to college, graduates, sends his transcripts to several seminaries, got accepted by one. And so for 3 years, he studies the Bible. He struggles through Greek and Hebrew like everybody else. He takes church administration courses and counseling, but he doesn't like it. He doesn't enjoy it. But he sticks with it because he figures, this is what God wants me to do. After all, he saw the sign. So he trudges through seminary, graduates, ordained by the Lutheran Church, finally gets a church. It doesn't go well. He's not a good preacher. He's not a good administrator. But he keeps trying because God gave him this sign. And the poor guy bounces from church to church until one day he finally retires. A number of years later, he dies. He shows up to St. Peter's Gate, and he immediately asks for an audience with God. And he says to God, why did you call me into the ministry? It never seemed to work out for me. In fact, I was kind of miserable the whole time. Why did you ever call me to be a preacher, Lord? Well, God was quite puzzled, and God usually doesn't get very puzzled. But God said, how is it you ever got the idea in the first place about being a preacher? And the guy says to God, well, you remember when I was out on the tractor, I got down on my knees, and I asked you to show me a sign what I should do with my life? Do you remember? And God says, yeah. God says, I remember distinctly sending you a sign in the clouds. I formed two huge letters, P and C. But my message to you was, plant corn. Plant corn. And I always wondered why you didn't follow my instructions and why you went into ministry. And the poor guy sheepishly hung his head and said, oh, I thought you wanted me to preach Christ. I told you it was corny, right? But you know, sometimes we miss, God sends us a sign and we miss it. Now, painted in the scriptures, there's this overarching idea that every single human being is custom made, that each of us are here for a purpose. Not one single person here on earth that God doesn't have a plan for. Remember our text from Psalm 139. Thank you, God, for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. So there's this idea that not only did God create us, but that God's hand was at work in all of our wiring, in all of our intricacies in how we were made. Those of you who have multiple children know this well. Even though your kids may come from the same parents and the same set of genes and the same chromosomes and the same DNA, oftentimes they come out very, very different. Different personalities, different temperaments, different gifts. And just as a side, I really think one of the most important roles that parents have is to be a student of their own children and how they're wired and how they're gifted, and to recognize their child's nature and abilities and giftedness. I can remember when Laura was like 2 or 3, and she had this incredible interest in animals and wildlife and sea life, and she was just drawn to water. And while other kids were watching MTV and stuff like that, she'd watch National Geographic specials. I thought, wow, that's a little different. And she just loved anything that dealt with the environment. And after high school, we were able to take her to the Galapagos Islands with a bunch of zoology professors, and it was like she was in heaven. And while they were on the boat talking all these kind of species and debating about bugs and flies and fishes, I'd say, well, it's a fish. What more do we need to know? And then, you know, we're not surprised at all how she's landed. She ended up working for the U.S. Geological Survey, and now she's part of a team that's responsible for the quality of drinking water in New York City. So if you go to New York City and take a drink of water, you know, say thank you. But my point is that God has wired us so uniquely and differently. And my second point is that God has wired us for a purpose. And third, because of this, I think it's really, really, really important that each of us spend some time understanding our own wiring and understanding how God has gifted us and how God might use those gifts in our everyday life. And you know, things change over time. As we grow and we develop, as we age, the gifting might look a little different. So we need to pay attention to that. Now, when each of you came in this morning, you were given a little piece of the puzzle. And what I'd like you to do is this week carry around that piece of puzzle. And I want you to think about how God has wired you and how that might play a part in the bigger picture. Because when we look at that little piece of the puzzle, it's, you know, it doesn't tell us a whole lot. Our meaning comes when we start connecting it with other people. And that's the beauty of the fabric of the church, is no one is responsible for everything. It's everyone gifted, and we have all these little pieces. And when the pieces come together, what a beautiful picture. Another thing I hope you'll kind of understand by this, you're not in this alone. It's not all about you. But we find our meaning when we discover how we fit and connect with other pieces of the puzzle. One of the things that I've learned, sometimes the hard way, is that part of our role as pastors and church staff is really to help identify talents and interests and help polish them so that we can connect them with the big picture. Often think of an orchestra or a choir, how it takes different octaves and in an orchestra where there's different instruments, and you know, you can do a solo in any of those instruments. But isn't it special when you bring all of those instruments together and you play on the same score? It's impossible for an individual to have that kind of music come from a solo. It takes working together. I used to play in the trumpet section, and there were first and second and third parts, and there was a B flat, E flat when you needed to hit the high notes, and each instrument is needed for the score to come alive. But each instrument needs to know their part. In the book of Romans, where we read from, the Apostle Paul uses this idea of specific gifts and talents. He said, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body, meaning the church. We are many, many parts, but we're one body, and we belong together. And I have to tell you, one of the greatest joys for me in ministry, something that fires me up far more than giving a home run sermon, which I think does happen every now and then, and something that fires me up more than helping people through difficult times, which I, it's part of my role, and I enjoy doing that. But the number one thing that fires me up is when I see people using their gifts and serving God in a way that fits how they're wired. And it's really cool when you're using those gifts in concert with others to serve the body. As most of you know, the Bible identifies a number of what are called spiritual gifts, which means gifts and talents that are given to us by God and empowered by the Holy Spirit to be used within the body. I think there's something like 25 different gifts that are mentioned. But for now, the main thing I want you to get your minds around is this idea that God has wired you in a unique way, that God has given you special gifts and talents, and that understanding this idea of giftedness and discovering and putting your gifts into play is not only important in the church, but it's important in all areas of your life. It's a huge, huge deal. And I don't think this is just a church thing. I think when we get really clear on this stuff, it can have a major impact in what you do and how you do it in just about every aspect of your life. One of my cousins is a partner for a law firm in Detroit, Summer Schwartz. It's a large law firm, and it handles a lot of labor law, especially with the automotive companies and their suppliers. And sometimes I'll call him and talk to him on the phone, and he'll tell me, this is a tough job. It's a really tough job. And dealing with people who are constantly at odds with each other, sometimes it's really draining. And he said, he's actually happens to be Jewish, and he's very involved in his synagogue. And he says, sometimes it's there that I find, where I really fit. And he works at a legal clinic two times a month for people who can't afford a lawyer, that are going through some hard stuff and they need a lawyer, they can't afford one. It fills his boat. And he's also part of helping young couples manage their finances. He's really good at it. It's kind of like the Financial Peace University that we do here. And he loves helping people work their way through these challenges. And while he's gifted his work, that's his vocation. His avocation is making a difference in his place of worship. Now, I don't know how the church ever got away from this idea of being the body and using all the gifts of all God's people. But oftentimes, I think we do. Some time ago, the church started leaning towards this idea of a professional clergy person who did the ministry and the people watched. But as Protestants, we believe in this idea, this concept called the priesthood of all believers. We believe everyone has a part in ministry. Listen to these words from the fourth chapter of Ephesians. Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip. Can we say that word together? I want you to get it. Equip. Equip. One more time. Equip. All right. That's our role. That's the role of staff at this church, is to equip you to do the work of ministry by using your gifts. And it's a joy when you're serving an area that matches up with your gifts. During the series, we're going to be featuring church members who are doing just that. Church members who are using their gifts in this ministry we call DeWitt Community Church. And today we have a short interview with Dave Pridgen, who served in a number of different areas, but I want you to take a look.
Both my parents were involved in their church. My mother sang in the choir. My father was very involved as a deacon in the church, and at the same time he was a part of a group that made a lot of the business decisions associated with the church. So they were influential in my life. And when Debbie and I got married in 1991, we started looking for a church home together. She's from Central New York, grew up in the Valley, And DeWitt community was more of a community, very warm and friendly. Ted Taylor at the time was a senior minister. He performed the ceremony for our daughter to be married in 2000. We got more involved in the church in the early 2000s, 2002 through 2003. We try to give back our time. I sat on a couple of different boards, and I think I always watched my father give back his time after he got older. He felt like he had something to contribute, and I feel likewise. Could have been a chip off the block, but in retrospect, I find that very rewarding. And it's important to me to offer what I have that I can afford, and that the time that I can afford to give. I think that's so important and the passion for me, because to help somebody else reach a goal or get to a goal or create a goal that needs to be accomplished, we're not always going to be here. So hopefully some of the things we're doing and have done, not only me, but the group as a church as a whole, will impress young people to come in and pave the way going forward for the upcoming generations. It takes revenue, it takes focus, it takes budgets to operate what we have here as a church. And we can only be as good as the people that support it. It's hard to have the programs, the good leadership, in a senior minister, and anybody that works in this leadership that is being paid by the church to continue to get good leadership in the future. So you really have to focus, take your ownership of what we have, and just do your part. That's all you ask. Some can afford to do more. Some can afford to do less. But as long as everyone's doing their part, I think it makes good sense to try to train others coming in to accomplish that. And I think the more programs, the more opportunity we have to interact with the community, the better we're all going to be by it. Become passionately involved any way you can, if it's time, if it's energy, if it's resources financially, then give everything that you can give, because this entire church and the operation of it depends solely on us. And I thank you for today.